Something we need to do is to discover God's Word. And through His Word, we can understand His will. And that would be given us the discovery of God's will in our lives. Thus, this is called discovering God's will. People say, well, how do I know God's will? Some people assume their own desires as being the will of God. Many times you see people will get into a ministry or get into a service of the Lord and they'll say that I've been called to do this or I've been called to do that. Is it truly a calling from God? Is it a calling from a spouse, a friend, a parent, a guidance counselor, someone who's telling you about finances, somebody who's telling you about something else that has led you into service one way or another for the Lord? Or is it really the will of the Lord? Have you gotten on the right pathway so that you're in the complete, full will of the Lord? Or are you kind of there, every once in a while you'll visit the will of the Lord, but most of the time you're in your own will, or you're under the will of somebody else, and you're just being led along or drug along? But we all individually need to discover the will of the Lord for our lives. And you can do that through the study of His Word. If we discover His Word, not merely just read the Bible, but discover the Word. And of course, the Word is Jesus Christ. And once you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, then you can understand, because He's going to be with you. If you will, turn over to John chapter 1, verse 1. Gospel of John chapter 1, in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So we know He's reached out to everybody, every man. That's what it tells us right here. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Such an awesome verse. Let's read it again. But as many as received Him, you must receive Jesus Christ. You must receive the Word. To them gave He power to become the sons of God. So you become part of the family. You become the part of the family of God. Kinship with Jesus Christ, the one who spoke everything into existence. The Word He's speaking of right here. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood. You don't become a Christian by inheritance or because of your genealogy, because of the family tree. That's not why you become one of the sons of God. Nor of the will of the flesh. That's not merely that we desire it of the flesh to do that. Nor the will of man. It's not an intellectual will that we become one of the sons of God. It says, but of God. 13 again. Which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God's the one that's going to call us in to become part of His family. And if we listen to God, if we receive the Word, then we will discover the will of God in our lives. In verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That grace that He'll pour upon us when we receive Him as our Lord and Savior, along with that comes the teaching of the Holy Ghost. And if we yield to all that, then we will discover the will of the Lord in our lives. And like we said, first you must receive the Lord as your Savior. Paul, in his letter to the church in Rome, addressed it in Romans chapter 10, part of what they call the Romans Road to Salvation. In Romans chapter 10, in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Point out, it's not by your bloodline, it's for everyone. Because talking about Jew and Greek here is really encapsulating everybody on the planet. It is to all people. In verse 13, for whosoever, it doesn't say for whatever Greek or for whatever Jew or for whatever any other nationality you want to put in there or any other people group or anything you want. It doesn't say any individual. It is to all because it says whosoever. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Simple words. Call upon the name of the Lord. And once you're saved, He's going to reveal Himself to you. Some wisdom that was passed on from fathers to son over in the Proverbs can really help us in this. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 2. In chapter 2, he reads, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the ways of His saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. If we want the understanding of the Lord, if we want the understanding of His Word, if we want the understanding of His will, we have to seek that. We have to desire it. As 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That desire. In other translations, in the New King James Version, they instead of say study, they say be diligent, which applies to that in a little different manner, but still it's the same thing. It's to have that continual effort to achieve that goal of closeness to the Lord, understanding of His will, understanding of His Word, then we will discover the will of the Lord in our lives. Always down to the point of get yourself out of the way, let God take control of your life. Let the Holy Ghost guide you, and He will give you what you need. And pray and ask for that, as it tells us in the Scriptures. Pray without ceasing. All the time. You wake up in the morning, you start praying, you pray throughout the entire day, you fall asleep praying. You do that, everything that you do in your day, you'll have God in your mind because you're right there talking to Him all the time. You might think, oh, that's crazy. I'm supposed to be really properly dressed and in the right place and go through the right rituals in order to approach the throne. It's not the way it is. It's the way it was during the Mosaic laws, during the priesthood and so forth, where they had to go into the Holy of Holies and do the sacrifices and so forth like that to call upon the Lord. But once Jesus Christ took on flesh, come down here, dwelt among us, and took on all of our sins, rose from the grave, stayed around some 40 days and ascended to the Father. Right now, our high priest, our mediator, gives us that pathway to be able to communicate to Him continuously. And He urges us to do that. And do it. He gives us an example prayer over in Matthew. Some people call it the Lord's Prayer. More properly would be an instructional prayer, a prayer of guidance, a kind of a general idea of what to include in your prayers. You've got to remember what pray means. Pray means a request. It's a request of the Father. And within that communications, you can ask for things, as it says, supplication in the Scriptures. Thanksgiving and supplication. Thanksgiving, you've got to give Him thanks. Supplication is being, let Him know what you need, what you want. Your own personal desires. Let Him know that. He takes those into consideration. If you have a personal desire that is selfish, self-destructive, He's not going to give you that. Unless He's going to let you have that in a way to teach you that that's something that you should not have. You know, just like you got a little child that's messing with you in the kitchen, you're preparing dinner and you're spicing it up with a few little hot peppers here and there, you know, and your kid's whining, you know, it's a nice, pretty red pepper. It looks tasty, you know, and they're like, gimme, gimme, gimme. It says, no, you don't want this. It tastes bad. No, no, you don't want this. Okay, here you go. You know, and his eyes running, his nose is running, he's crying. You know, he learned from that experience. And then we sometimes get that chastisement from the Lord as well when we start getting our own will in a way instead of going by the will of the Father, or we get off of the straight and narrow and start doing things. He will allow us to do things that are harmful to us to teach us, to make us stronger, to bring us back to Him. Was it His will that you get into that harmful behavior so that you could learn a lesson and grow closer to Him? His preference was that you stay close to Him and you not have to go through that suffering. Because it grieves Him and grieves the Holy Spirit when you don't listen to Him, when you don't listen to His will, when you start doing things your own way instead of doing the way of the Father. He gives us this guide prayer here. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Start your prayer out with a praise. A thanksgiving and a praise to the Lord. Sometimes that's all you need to pray. Is, Lord, thank You. Even if you go through your entire day, every experience that you have that's a blessing to you, or that's a lesson to you, or that it's a benefit to you, praise the Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. All through your day. Don't just say, gimme, 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 all through your entire day. Some people look at God as if He's one of these genies in the bottle. You know, they'll pick Him up when they need Him. They'll rub the bottle and they'll say, Lord, give me this. And then set Him back on the shelf and don't pay attention to Him the rest of the day. He says, Lord, give me this. That's the only time you go to the Lord. It's when you're asking Him for something. Is that how He starts out here? No. He communicating to the Lord is, praise the Lord. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, O our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It doesn't say, My will be done. It says, Thy will be done. So pray, Lord, give me everything I desire. I have a plan for my life. I've thought this out very carefully. I have this all laid out. This is what I want to do. This is the school I want to attend. This is the career I want to go into. This is the kind of person I want to marry. This is the kind of kids that I want to raise. And this is what I want to do for You. you know, and then you've got it all figured out. Your plan. Or do you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I am clay in your hands. Mold me into whatever you would have me to be. And willfully go into that. You know, they don't teach that in schools these days. They don't promote that on anything. It's all, you know, have it your way. And motivate people in that way. Letting them think that they can take that kind of control of their life and have everything that they desire, but have it all laid out like they want it. But so many times they find out it is totally different what really comes to be in their life. Is it because we've gotten off of the straight and narrow? Is it because we've not paid any attention to the will of the Lord, but just to our own will and our own desires? Our focus should always be on what is the will of the Lord for our life. And through prayer and study and listening, we can find that out. Then we can go full speed ahead in the direction that He wants us to go. Not the direction that we think would be best for us or that we want to go. Because we've got to know that He has all knowledge. He knows what's best for us. He knows what's going to happen in the future. We don't know that. I mean, we see this when we're trying to raise our children, that we give them some guidance. We give them some direction. And they think they know everything when they get up to that age where they think they're smarter than mom and dad. And then later when they get a little older, they realize how wise mom and dad was. But in those younger years, when they think they're smarter than mom and dad and they decide they want to do things their own way, and you're trying to give them that guidance because you've lived a life and you have experiences that you can rely on and resources available to you that they don't have, but yet they want to do things their own way. We're like that with the Lord. He can see the whole picture. He can see everything. We just see a tiny little speck. And if we yield to Him and to His will, then we're going to be doing what is best for us. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Not, Lord, give me everything of my desires so I have a big stash so when I get time to retire, I've got all this to fall back on, kick up my heels and just enjoy the rest of my life I have. Doesn't say that. It says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So much of this about forgiveness. I mean, I could do the whole sermon on just this part of the forgiveness thing in here. But if we want forgiveness, we've got to be forgiving of others. It's critical. Forgive others. Don't be carrying that around because it hurts you. It doesn't hurt them. It hurts you. So let that go. Forgive us our debts. That's our debt to all mankind. That's our debt to our Father, our disobedience, our debts. Forgive us of all that. Where we failed you, where we failed others. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's not from the evil of the world that's out there. That's the evil that is within ourselves. Because it's attached here to temptation, the temptations that are out there. We're asking Him for strength in our lives so that those temptations that the devil knows are useful in tempting you to get off of the straight and narrow. That's what he's telling us to pray about here. Lead us not into those temptations. Guide us from that. And to keep us, deliver us from that evil that is within us, that evil capability that we have, that disobedient nature that comes into us that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden that we all still have within us. Even when we're born again, we still have that in us because we're still within this cursed flesh body. And we will still have those temptations, that opportunity to step into the evil. So we're asking Him here to keep us from all that potential evil that is within us that could rise to the surface so quickly. Ask Him to control that. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Acknowledging Him as the authority of your life is something that most people do not do. Most Christians still do not give God total authority over their life. They want to control their own life. They want to have authority, and they give authority to other people around them as well. They'll give authority to their parents, to their bosses, to their guidance counselors, to their doctors, to their finance advisors, instead of giving the authority to God. We've spoke about this recently, about healing and so forth. Who do you give authority over your body? Do you give that authority to that doctor, or do you give God the authority over your body? When a doctor comes in and says, hey, you got 6 months to live, you say, okay, you're the authority of my life. I know now I have 6 months to live. Or do you say, you don't know that. The Lord knows when I'm going to die. You don't know that. The Lord knows when He's going to take me home. The Lord has a work for me to do. I'm going to do that work. Until the Lord's done with me, then I'm going to be with the Lord. He has the authority over your life, not man. Give Him that authority. Acknowledge that authority. When you pray every single day, acknowledge, Lord Almighty. And they know what the word Lord means. That means ultimate authority. Accept Him, receive Him, acknowledge Him as your Lord. Every single day. And you will know what He wants you to do in that day. He will reveal Himself to you. If you will, turn over to Psalm. Book of Psalms in Psalm 32. One verse here. Verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Words that will come to us from the Lord. He will instruct us. He will guide us. He will let us know what He wants us to do. If we are open to that. If we will receive that. How does He talk to us? How does He give us that information? Is it through prayer? Sometimes it's through prayer. Through study of His Word. But most of all, and the most powerful force that we have available to us, of course, is the Holy Ghost. And He here is telling the disciples about the promise of the coming of the Comforter, of who we now receive instantly when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Holy Ghost moves into us. Jesus is teaching His disciples here about the Comforter, another name for the Holy Ghost. In verse 26, John chapter 14, in verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Ghost will teach us. If we are willing students, if we will listen to Him, He will teach us the understanding of the Word. He'll teach us the understanding of the history of the Scriptures. He'll teach us the understanding of the prophecies. He'll teach us to understand when somebody's telling you something that is not correct, not of the Word of God. He'll teach you how to behave yourself. He'll teach you how to walk the straight and narrow. He'll teach you how to dress, how to talk, how to behave in every manner of your life. If you'll listen to Him. Instead of listening to someone else. Instead of giving somebody else authority over your life. Give God the ultimate authority and listen to Him. And along with that, as we continue to read here in in John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That peace will come along with that. When you know you're in the will of God, it is so calming and so peaceful. Because then you're not struggling to understand what you need to do next. Because He'll let you know, relax, I've got things under control. I am the authority of your life. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Because when we're trying to figure everything out, when we're trying to control everything, we start to realize you're really not in control of anything. There are people out there, some I'm very familiar with, that try to control everything. Try to control what you do yourself and everyone around you. always wondering what somebody else is doing and how they're doing it and trying to give them direction. Well, you should do this, we should do that. Giving everybody else always all this kind of advice and everything. Because they're struggling within themselves, trying to control their own world, their own little circle. It gets frustrating when they know they don't have control, so that maybe, well, if I control somebody else, that gives me a little more confidence that maybe I am in control, instead of relaxing and know that you're not really in control anyway. God's in control. Give Him full control. Give Him full authority. And then you'll discover the Word and you'll discover the will of the Lord. And that peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Of course, this is an instructional letter given to those by Paul to the church there in Philippi. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the way Paul addresses Jesus Christ. He doesn't just say Jesus, which means the Lord is salvation. He doesn't just say Christ, which means the Anointed One. He says Lord Jesus Christ. Lord being the ultimate authority. And then God is our Savior, the Anointed One. Identify in Jesus Christ for who He truly is. I love that way He always uses that. The Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy, reassuring this group in Philippi that he prays for them, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That applies to all of us. That confidence that we should have in ourselves, in the Lord, not in ourselves of our own ability, but within us, we should have confidence, knowing that the Lord, right here as it says, He hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Once you become saved, Jesus Christ moves into you in the form of the Holy Ghost. That work has begun. He will continue that work. We need to acknowledge that, receive that, have confidence in that, give our lives fully and completely over to the Lord. He will reveal His will to us, and we will have that peace that He spoke of right there that nothing else in this world can compare to. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. It gives us that understanding of what Your will is. It gives us that understanding and the guidance that we need. It gives us that confidence. It gives us that hope that we have. We thank You so much for Your Word. Help us always be able to have the opportunity to be able to read it openly and freely and be able to gather together in Your home like this and be able to preach and grow closer to You. Help us to be able to share this with others. Thank You so much for the opportunity. As I pray in Jesus' precious, holy name. Amen.